Welcome to the Yes Mujer Build It podcast, the podcast for ambitious mujeres who are committed to building a business, career, and life they love. I am Master Coach Wendy Amara, and I'm going to teach you the mindset tools and strategy that will help you stay in consistent action so you can build it. Let's get started. Hello, powerful mujer. Welcome to episode 2 of Yes Mujer, Build It. I'm so excited to be speaking with you guys today about creating results and the results that I've been able to create in my life through the journey that I've been on the last 16, 17 years. So in episode 1, you learned that I actually came to coaching because I was searching for tools that would help me in my personal life manage my own brain, actually manage the depression that I was in, the anxiety that I was feeling, the thoughts that I had, and really learn to build myself up, build my own worthiness, build Wendy from the ground up. I had been pretty knocked down. I had been bullied in school. There were a lot of things that didn't fit for me. I always felt a little bit like I was a square peg trying to fit in a round hole. And that was my life. Life was the round hole and I kept trying to fit into it, right? But as a square peg, I just wasn't fitting in. And things seemed to come easier to other people. I now see that a lot of that was in my own mind because people were only showing me what they were showing me, right? And people oftentimes will show us the best version of them, right? What we see on Instagram or in TikTok is you on your best day. It's not you on a regular average day where you spill coffee on yourself as you're picking up the kids and then end up yelling at somebody for forgetting their backpack and then look in the mirror and feel guilty that you yelled at your kid. But that's like a typical day, right? For most of us moms. So I started to learn that what I was experiencing as these perfect people, that no one was really perfect. I wasn't perfect and no one was really perfect. And through doing transformational work and through using these tools on myself and starting to become an expert in the world of coaching, I realized that there's so much power in vulnerability. When you take off the shield, or the armor, and you just get really real and raw with people, they do the same thing. They take off their shield and they get really raw and real. And one of the shameful secrets that I had been holding on to that I hadn't told anyone about was that in my early 20s, at one point, I had been diagnosed as bipolar. And for me, that was like a death sentence, right? Because that meant I was mentally ill. And looking back on it now, it was a quick diagnosis by a doctor who wasn't your regular doctor. He was only working in private practice and wasn't affiliated with any sort of real medical background. So I don't know how accurate he was. But I will tell you that the fact that that word was even told to me knocked me on my feet. And it made me feel like, one, nobody would ever love me, because who was going to love somebody with a mental illness, right? Two, I would never have any friends, or no one would really get close to me, because who was going to get close to me if they knew I had this mental illness, this supposed mental illness, and that I was never going to be able to achieve any of my goals? So I really had a thought in my 20s that no one would ever love me. I would have no friends. I wouldn't be able to maintain a career or a business. And that I certainly would never have kids, because who would allow a mentally ill person to have children? And that was my mindset until I started to do transformational work. And one of the amazing, beautiful human beings that I met on my journey really taught me a lesson when it comes to the power of vulnerability. So in one of the trainings that I was in, he had decided to be my buddy for a process we were doing. I had never told anyone out loud that I had been diagnosed as bipolar and that I actually thought maybe at the time that maybe I was, and that I was contemplating taking medication for it. And it was such a big deal in my head to even say that out loud to somebody. So I told him during a break, I felt safe enough to divulge that I actually felt this diagnosis. I wasn't sure if it was accurate or not, but I felt safe enough to tell him in that moment. So I said to him, you know, I don't know how to say this to you, but I was actually diagnosed as bipolar. And I'm not sure if I am, but just the fact that I'm even thinking that. And he's like, oh, that's nothing, Wendy. I have AIDS. And I remember my mouth just dropping and me being in utter shock. Like, what do you mean you have AIDS? And he's like, yeah, I officially have AIDS. Like, I was diagnosed a couple years ago. I've been living with it for a couple of years. I know this means that I won't necessarily live forever, but, you know, I'm not letting my life be defined by that diagnosis. Wow. Him sharing that with me blew my mind. One, he really put my whole bipolar diagnosis in perspective, because here I was holding on to all this shame and all of this guilt around being diagnosed as bipolar, and he was living with AIDS, and he was so freed up about it. It was not a big deal to him. He was like, yeah, so I got diagnosed with AIDS a couple years ago. And I mean, he really schooled me in that moment into seeing what real vulnerability is and what it means to really live with the diagnosis of something that could potentially kill you. Wow. It was such a wake-up call. But he did it in a really loving way. I didn't feel offended. I just was in awe of him, in awe of the courage to just talk about it like no big deal. I was in awe of how he was living his life so freely. I remember thinking to myself, wow, the relationship that he has with AIDS, that's what I want with my mental illness. I want to be able to have a relationship where I'm so freed up about it, I can tell a whole room and not feel any shame or any doubt of who I really am. He also, by the way, didn't think this diagnosis was going to change his whole entire life. I mean, he was still living a full life. He was in relationships and he was traveling a lot and he was living his best life. He wasn't hiding underneath the covers because he didn't want people to know this about him. There was so much freedom in how he was living his life. It was such an example to me. And that was one of my first encounters with the power of vulnerability. Even to this day, I remember that moment. I remember the feeling of just being in awe of him. Yeah. And that's also when I knew, wow, these are my people. What I mean by these are my people is my people are the people who are willing to do the work, the people who are willing to look in the mirror and really do the introspective work of digging in deep to see what works for them and where they want to move to in their life. That takes so much courage. It takes such digging in. And it takes such vulnerability to look in the mirror every week. And that was the beginning of falling in love with coaching for me. In addition to seeing and learning all the tools that I'm going to start sharing with all of you here, in addition to learning the tools and learning that there was a whole nother way to look at life, the people and their courage and their vulnerability is another reason I fell in love with transformational work and fell in love with coaching and decided this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. I want to teach people this. I want to bring other people to this place. But I knew first that I had to practice the tools for myself. I knew that I had to work added in my life. So as soon as I realized, okay, this is the work that I want to do, I started using some of the tools to create the life that I really wanted. And at the time, in my mid-20s, I really wanted a relationship. And I knew I wanted a relationship with someone that was going to be in it for the long run. So I was looking for a partner, somebody who was going to be with me, really, not just to have fun, but to eventually get married and maybe even have children. So I was looking for somebody that had the characteristics of being a good father, somebody that had the characteristics of being a good husband. And I made a commitment to myself. And this was the first time I really started to practice a muscle called commitment. Commitment is an internal muscle that you use when you're 100% in, when you're committed to creating something. And before I was committed to my husband, Joey Amara, who I ended up marrying, I was committed to finding him. I was committed to finding a partner. I didn't know it was going to be him at the time, but I was 100% committed to finding this partner. This was after I had done some work on myself and I had started to feel like, yeah, I do deserve love. And yes, there may be somebody out there that can fall in love with me. So after I had done some internal work, I set forth on this adventure called dating for any of you that have been out there in the dating world. Now, this was back in the day when Match.com was still pretty new. We didn't even have eHarmony back then. And I started in Match.com. And I started going out on some first dates. And I remember Joey was date number 13, I think it was. First date number 13. And there were some interesting first dates before him. I remember one guy ended up taking me to Disneyland on a first date, which I thought was really brave of him because you're going to spend a whole day together at Disneyland. You know, if you don't like each other, oops. And I remember feeling, I remember the feeling of my makeup falling apart on Splash Mountain because I got all wet and then my mascara was running all over my face. I remember thinking, oh no, he's not going to like me now because my makeup just completely came off my face. Not a great first date to go to Disneyland with somebody you just met. We ended up having a great time, but it didn't lead to anything after that. I was committed to having fun on dates and getting to know people and being my authentic self. Here's the thing. I knew internally that I wasn't going to give up. And that's the thing with commitment, right? Once you've pushed that internal button of I am committed, you're in. You're in until it happens. So you're not looking for the back door, which I think so many of us do, because we're not really committed. One of the tools that I had built doing the transformational work was this muscle of commitment. It was this tool of using this feeling of when you're really committed to something. When you're really committed to something, you're in it. And sometimes you're in it for the long run because you want to reach the thing. You're not going to give up that easily. That takes character. So many people give up way too quickly when the road gets tough. And the road got tough with me on a couple of dates, but I didn't give up. And Joey, who ended up being my husband, was date number 13. And when I first saw him, I was like, oh, this guy's going to be like my friend. Because there was this friend energy, right, when I met him. He was so likable. And immediately I felt like I had known him before. Like I knew him from some past life or I knew him before from some parties or something. There was just a familiarity about him that felt really comfortable. And through the dating process, I got to know him more and more and more. And through a lot of ups and downs, I decided to open up my heart to him and really be vulnerable, which was another tool that I was learning, right? And that I had learned through this process of building the life that you want. Vulnerability is so powerful because as soon as you start letting your guard down, the other person starts letting their guard down. And falling in love feels like, I love all the imperfections in you. Can you love all the imperfections in me? Can I show you who I really am? And they show you who they really are. And it's actually a really beautiful thing. It is such a beautiful thing. Had I not done the work on myself, though, I wouldn't have been ready. So this came after having done a year's worth of work on myself already that I actually found Joey. And even then, I remember there was a point where I was like, yeah, I don't know if this is going to work out. And I had gone to go try and break up with him and actually could not break up with him. I remember sitting there with the thought, oh, I'm going to break up with this guy because I don't know if this is really going anywhere. And when I went to tell him, hey, I just don't think this is working, I couldn't say the words. I literally couldn't say the words. Something inside of me was saying, don't let him go, Wendy. Don't let him go. So I said, okay, we're gonna keep dating. And we did. We did keep dating. Now, what many of you don't know is that I had been dating Joey maybe 4 months or so when I had a huge tragedy happen in my life that actually set me on the course even more to do the work that I do. In 2005, in December of 2005, my brother died tragically in a car accident. Suddenly, he was driving home from what I think was either Coachella or one of those late night festivals in the desert. And off the 5 freeway, he got in an accident where he actually hit a tree. He hit a tree and he died suddenly. And in my family, it had only been always me and my brother. That's it. We didn't have any more siblings. We weren't a huge, large family. There were a lot of aunts and uncles and cousins, but in my immediate family, it was my mom, my dad, me, and my brother. And he was 2 years younger than me. So I was the older sister. And when I had started to do all this transformational work, I had shared it with him. And I wanted him to come do all the same work that I was doing because I felt like I was really learning so much. And he was never really open to it. He was not someone that was on the same path as me. But because I had been doing work on myself, I had become more open to who he was. There had been more moments of real connection between us and vulnerability and love. There had been moments where all four of us, my mom, my dad, him, and me, were really connected. And we had begun to spend more time together, which was really valuable for me, especially knowing what was to come, which was that he was not going to be with us. So when I found out that my brother had passed away, one, I was really angry, immediately angry. And we went to his apartment, I remember, with my dad and my mom to start taking out some of his stuff. And it just felt surreal. Like, did this really happen? You know, he was in his mid-20s. He was so young to go from one day saying, okay, bye, Wendy, I'll see you next weekend, to I'm never going to see you again. It was really shocking to me. It still is shocking, even talking to you about it now. It still shocks me sometimes that this really happened in my life. But I will say this, what I learned in that moment is that you really never know in life when your last day is going to be. You could be gone tomorrow. You could be gone in an hour. You just don't know. You don't know what the plan is. You don't know how long you have. So all we really have is this moment now. It made things so much more real, more intense. It also put a lot of things in perspective. Like the things that I had been going back and forth over in my life regarding past friendships, and none of that seemed to matter anymore. Even the back and forth that I had been going on in my mind about Joey. What mattered was what was my heart telling me. And if you've ever dated somebody, when a tragedy happens, when something really serious happens, either it binds you together or it sets you on a course to fall apart. Because either the relationship is strong enough to handle what's coming or it's not strong enough And then the relationship just falls apart. And me and Joey had only been dating 4 months, so it's not like we knew each other a really long time. What I found out was that what we had started to build was strong enough for us to continue to build on this foundation. So he showed up in a really big way for me after my brother died. Him and his entire family showed up for me and my family. And we became inseparable. We became so connected and tight during that whole process. So inseparable, in fact, that 3 months later, we were engaged. And within a year and a half, we were married. Everything happened really fast. From there on, everything happened really fast. And some of that was me avoiding feeling what had been happening with my brother's death, the challenging feelings that were coming up for me, and moving into living in this new way with these new tools that I was learning. So not everything went as planned, you know, but when does life go as planned? I mean, I like to tell everybody, you know, let's remember life is really plan B. It's never plan A. Things don't go as planned. Ever. I don't know anyone who's mapped out their life and everything has happened exactly as they've planned it. You know, you can't plan when you're going to fall in love. You can't plan exactly when you're going to have a baby. You can't plan exactly when the pieces fall into place financially. You can make a plan, and I think it's important to do that. And then to remember that life is going to be the ups and downs that happen along the way. And what helped me get through that really rough time with my brother's death was a lot of the tools that I had started to practice. It was breaking things down into what was really most important to me. What kind of life did I really want to live? What was the lifestyle that I wanted to live in terms of time? It was a realization that time is so short. What are the results that I want to produce while I'm here? And I have this precious time to use. Death really changes people. I've seen it happen to other people around me also when they have an unexpected death happen to them. It reminds us in a very tactile way, in a way that we can touch and feel, that we only get this one life. That's it. You've only got this one life. And there's going to be pain either way. You're never going to fully eliminate pain from your life. It's part of the human experience. So if there's going to be pain either way, you might as well build the thing that you really want to build. You might as well be working towards the life that you want to live. The message to me really was, Wendy, you've got a short time here on earth. How do you want to spend it? Because whether you spend it doing the thing you really want to do or the thing you don't want to do, there's going to be pain, there's going to be joy, there's going to be love, there's also going to be frustration and anger. Those are all parts of the human experience, and you can't avoid them. You can't avoid them. So, what do you want to do? And I kept deciding over and over again, right? And enrolling myself into the belief that I wanted to build this life, the life that I'm living now. So I say humbly, the life that I'm living now, because sometimes I'm in awe of even my own life. I'm like, has this really happened? From going from a girl who was stuck in, there's no way that I can build my dream life, to actually building my dream life. I ended up marrying Joey. We ended up having 3 beautiful kids, all of which were challenging to have. We bought our first condo when we first got married, actually after a couple of years, and still own that condo to this day. And we ended up buying a house and moving into our newest house and building this life, where I work from home and manage the kids. And we still have a lot of ups and downs because life is life and relationships are hard. But it all started with me choosing consciously to do my own work, to do the work of managing myself, to managing my brain, managing my way of being, choosing thoughts that were going to serve me, choosing feelings that were going to serve me, choosing to be vulnerable, choosing to let down my guard, and choosing to allow other people in, which is still really scary to do. But that's what I'm doing with all of you guys, is allowing you in. Yes. So those are some of the results that I've been able to generate over the last couple of years. Through this process, we're going to get into more of my story, but we're also going to get into the tools that I'm going to start sharing with you, the transformational tools that have helped me in my life. And I'm going to explain to you how I utilize them, how I use them day in and day out so that you can start to build the life that you want. I'll see you on the next episode. This is your reminder, Mujer, that you can absolutely build it. You can build the business that you want. You can build the career that you want. You can build yourself into the person that makes all of that happen. And it requires learning how to manage your human brain, learning how to dance with your emotions, and learning how to stay in consistent action, which is exactly what I teach in Inspired Action, my coaching program. Join us today for accountability, support, community, entrepreneurship, strategy, and actually learning how to implement the mindset tools that I talk about here. Go to wendyamara.com and click on Inspired Action to learn more. You can also follow me on Instagram at wendyamara to stay up to date on my latest offerings. Don't forget, Mujer, that if you really want to learn to swim, you have to get in the water. So come take action with us. We get in the water every single week. I'll see you on the next Yes, Mujer, Build It.